dirty. It's probably got germs all over it. At this point, the little girl looked up at Mom and had total admiration in her face. And she, Mom, said, Mom, how do you know all this stuff? You are so smart. Well, the mom said, I was thinking quickly. So she says, all moms know this stuff, honey. It's on the mom test. You have to know it, or they just don't let you be a mom. So they walked along in silence, the mother tells, for the next 4 or 5 minutes. And this little girl was obviously pondering what had just happened. And so all of a sudden, she had an aha moment and spoke up, oh, Mom, I get it. I finally get it. And she said, well, what is it, honey? She said, so if you don't pass the mom test, you wind up having to be a dad. So anyway, back to the blonde jokes next week, all right? I promise, guys. All right, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I want you to know that. All right, we're going to go back to those next week. I got some good ones. So, but anyway, let's talk about what it means to serve. Jesus was talking about this role of shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. And he gives us in this passage multiple things that give us a feel with regard to what it is we should be doing as servants. Because let me tell you this. If you are in part of the body of Christ, you are called to be a servant. You are called to serve somebody. And the somebody you are called to serve is Jesus Christ. Because he is the ultimate servant. He is the one that gave us that example, that gives us this example. And service is often the thing that we can kind of keep going with. And we when times tend to get tough, when times tend to get us down, when we kind of feel spiritually dry. You know, people come to me sometimes and say, well, I just feel like there's nothing there right now. And I say, look, I've been there. Sometimes I am there. I know what you mean. One of the things we can always hang on to is continue to serve. Find people to serve. Find ways to help others, because that is the Spirit of God. That is the expression that Jesus Christ wants to have in you. You as that individual who is in yourself an expression of Jesus Christ. So Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that we are made to become like Christ. And he also goes on to say that we are also, as a part of that, we are meant to have ministry. We are meant to serve others. And that is a part of becoming like Jesus Christ. And so today, I want us to kind of play off that whole idea of the role of shepherding being one that was considered to be menial, kind of be a low task, one that did not have a whole lot of public, I guess you might say, admiration perhaps. But deep down, everybody knew that the role of shepherding had to be done. We have things that we think about today. We think, oh, I wouldn't want to do that job. I wouldn't want to do that. Well, you know, thank God somebody does. Right? Thank God somebody does those things that many of us would rather not do, because we would rather not get our hands too dirty. Right? And so Jesus kind of brings out this whole idea, and he uses this thing of the shepherd, not because the shepherd was some prestigious, you know, big time, big paying role, but because it is the profession that demonstrated the ultimate in servanthood. And so as we look at this today, I want us to think about how we can best, as Bill Hybels, a famous pastor, wrote one time, how we can descend into greatness by learning to serve. Descending into greatness by learning to serve. Well, I want us to start today, and this is kind of a two-parter. We're just going to give you a little bit of introduction today. We're going to talk about, at a broad level, what service really is, what the Bible says about service, and why this is so important. Because I really believe that service is truly the expression of the love of God in us. Many of us serve in different ways. Ways that, you know, for so many of you, you don't even think about it because it's second nature. You just do it. But you're serving because of the love of Jesus that's flowing through you. Can I also say that many times when we look at the love of God and we assume that as the love of God comes to us, it's there just for us, right? It kind of becomes a repository kind of thing for us. When in reality, the love of God comes to us and we are to be conduits. We're to allow it to flow through us so that the love from God that comes to us is expressed to others in the uniqueness of the way that God has created you and I. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? See, my service is not going to look the same as yours. Yours is not going to look the same as mine. Does that make sense? Because God created us differently. All of us are different. We're unique. And you know what? God made his plan for us out in such a way that it is not rocket science. He did not intend for this to be something that we could not get our arms around. So let's look back at this passage we read a few moments ago, and let's answer a couple of questions. First of all, who are servants? And secondly, what do they do? And five things that I just want to key on. There's so many more in this passage, but five things I want to bring to your attention today that kind of give us an idea of how we need to learn how to go about life as we try to become better servants. Because again, if we don't learn how to serve, we're never going to be able to carry out the function that God has for us to carry out. So, what are some of those? The first is this: who are servants and what do they do? Servants are going to become very familiar to those they serve. Servants are to become very familiar with those they serve. Let me tell you, I got to know people. Can I just go serve people on the street randomly, act of kindness? Absolutely, you can. But just as with the shepherd, you were going to have people in your life, in your circle of influence, that is going to be very natural for you to serve. And just as the sheep would not go anywhere unless the shepherd that they knew, that knew them, unless that shepherd spoke to them, they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't budge. As a matter of fact, they would run away if they didn't recognize the voice. All of us have people in our sphere of influence that we are called to serve. And we must get to the point where we're familiar with them. Why? Because it is only after we're familiar with those people that we can begin to become familiar enough to know what they need. You see, everybody, just as you and I, there are different expressions of service based on who I am and who you are. The people that are going to be around us in our sphere of influence, they're all different too. Their needs are going to be different. You can try to throw all the money you want as a gift to people who have real deep emotional hurts. The money might help, but guess what? It's not really going to get to the issues that they have. You might go mow their yard. That's a great expression. It's great. Do it. We should do that to kind of take things off people. But that helps with things that are not necessarily at the core of the issue, the core problems. So by being familiar with people, we get to understand what their needs are. One of the joys I have of being in this position, and that some of the other pastors, Todd Felkel and Stephen Potts and Don Overman and Ricky Turner, one of the things we learn to do as pastors is the most important thing we can do is broker relationships. In other words, it's not so much that we feel like we're Superman biblical answer people, because we're not. But rather the thing, and this kind of goes back to Don, this is the reason we got to get to know the people, right, Don? Because we got to know when person A has a need, we need to be aware that person G dealt with that need 3 years ago, that same issue, right? And our job is to get you together, because that's where service all comes about. It would be very egotistical for us to even begin to think that we could meet every one of your needs. Does that make sense? That's why all of us in the body of Christ are called to be ministers. Every one of us. No exceptions. You're in the body of Christ, you're a minister. That's why I don't like necessarily the title, pastor. I don't let people call me doctor. I don't let people call me reverend. Right? Why? Because that kind of puts me on a position that could potentially downplay the role that all of us as Christ followers are called to play. All of us are ministers in the body of Christ. Look what the Bible says. The gatekeeper in verse 3 of that passage we read earlier opens the gate for the shepherd. The sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Look, sheep had names. Now, they didn't have reputations of being very smart animals, but shepherds would name them. There was an affection. There was a great deal of affection between the sheep and the shepherd. And he would know the needs and he would help them. Here's the second thing. Servants always show others a better path. A better path. If you're going to be a servant, if we're going to serve as we should, we have to be in the business of helping people see things differently. And when we see people maybe going down a path that may not be best for them, you know what? One of the best things we can do in servicing them is to let them know. Now, how do we do that, bud? I don't want to act like I'm prying. It's none of my business, so therefore I should just not be involved. Well, that's one way to look at it. But oftentimes you're going to get a much better response by taking a risk and saying, is there something I can help you with? And at least opening up. When you do that, you know what? You can be very surprised at what might come back and where you might find needs that other people may genuinely have. So What does it mean? It means that we need to learn how to show others a better path. After he's gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them. Now, what happens is he leads the flock out of the sheepfold, as we said earlier, out to pasture. There they can graze, they can play, they have fun. It's a great place to be for a sheep, to be out in the sheepfold, out of the sheepfold and into the pasture. That's where life really begins for them. So servants show others a better path. Are you living a life in such a way that you are serving other people and that you are pointing them towards something that is better? Now, it's great to go help them with short-term tasks, but one of the best things we can do for people is to help them get on track for long-term benefits, for something that's going to help them long-term, to make a real difference in their lives long-term. That's huge, very important. Here's the third thing. Servants are going to lead selfless lives. Can you say that with me? Servants lead selfless lives. That's harder to say than selfish, isn't it? Selfish lives is a little bit easier to say for some reason. And you know what? It's a little bit easier to live selfish lives than it is to lead selfless lives. Selflessness simply means I put my own needs at the back and I'm focusing on the needs of the individual. After all, the life of the Christ follower is intended to be lived for others, not for ourselves. That's just the way it is. It's clear in the gospel that that's who Jesus is and that's what he wants from us. He says, yes, I'm the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and they will find good pastures. And then he goes on to say another point very much like that in point four, servants sacrifice their own welfare for the welfare of others. This is one of the most important passages in all of the Gospels, verses 10 and 11. The thief's purpose, and who do you think Jesus was talking about here at the core? Who's the thief? Satan, the devil himself. His purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. You know, are you the type who's willing to be a good shepherd? Are you willing to put your needs behind that of the needs of others? Are you willing to get out of your rut, to get out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to think maybe about something that's really like out of the box, it's really wild and crazy? One of our folks this week emailed me for some help on some resources about possibly doing something really wild and crazy. And I'm really excited about it for them. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to do some things that are going to cause us maybe a little hardship in order for others to have a better time of it? Finally, servants see needs that are beyond what is immediately around them. You see, here's the thing. You and I, I just think in general, our default system causes us to assume that the only world that is real is that which we can see around us. And our perspectives a lot of time are limited to that. Chances are that this may be the largest single gathering that many of you will be in all week. And that's fine. Probably most of us. This will be for me. The largest single gathering that any of us will ever be in. And so we may see more people at one time right now than we'll see all week. So do we just assume that the world kind of ends right here? Or do we see needs beyond that which we can physically see? Are we aware of those? Look at what Jesus said, because his goal is for us as Christ followers to be aware of things that go far beyond that which we can see. He says, as the shepherd says, I have other sheep too, in verse 16, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Are you looking to find the needs of folks beyond that which you can see? The folks that you're around, the folks that you're with. Are you struggling and are you striving to be a servant that really has the heart of Jesus Christ? Well, as I said earlier, we're going to take this big conceptual idea of service and what it means. And we're going to begin to narrow it now and into next week. And we're going to talk about next week a lot about how you might have some tools to help you figure out what it is that you are uniquely called to do. And in order to kind of prep us for that, I want us real quickly as we finish up, I want to give you a couple things. First of all, I want to ask the question, what do I need in order to serve? What do I need in order to serve? The answer to that question is you already have it. You already have it. It's already there. You have everything you need to begin serving. And by the way, this does not have to be in some formal role. You can walk out of the store and you can go to lunch and you can serve somebody. Here's a way to serve somebody. Give a bigger tip at lunch than you normally would give. Be generous. Live a life of generosity to the waiter, waitress, whatever the case might be. Pay for somebody else's bill. Okay, that's a way to serve somebody. Kind of act of random kindness. But you know what the economy's like. Sure I do. And think how much that person will appreciate you because of that. Right? See, people will stop along the side of the road sometimes. You know, conditions are right, stop, help them. There are different ways you can serve others. There are formal ways you can serve. We have people who are engaged with our children right now as we speak, and our teenagers who are serving within the body of Christ. They're serving, giving of their what they have to offer in order to help others. You cannot be a complete Christian. Now, I don't know if you can ever be a complete Christian. Don't get me wrong. But you cannot move toward becoming a complete Christian without service being a major part of what your life carries and what it sets forth. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So let's break that down real quickly. What does that mean? What does that really mean? Here's four things it means. Number one, all believers are equipped. Everyone who claims to be a Christ and who is a Christ follower are equipped. Now, what does equipped mean? Those of you who might be contractors, if you're going to hire carpenters, you're going to make sure that they understand they have the know-how, right? You're going to make sure that they have the actual tools that they need. You're going to make sure they're equipped before you send them out in your name to do the job. Can I tell you that Jesus has already equipped many of us, all of us, if we're Christ followers. He's equipped us before he is sending us out to do work in his name. The question is, are we recognizing the equipping and are we living into it? Or are we denying the things that God has gifted us to do? That's often what people do. Oh, I'm just no good at that. I'm no good at anything. I'm just being humble. No, you're not. You're denying God's power. You're denying the power of God in your life, and you're saying that God really didn't know what he was doing when he created me. That's really what you're saying. So how is it that God has uniquely equipped you and fashioned you for service in the world in the context of the life that he has given you? So all believers are equipped. He says each one should use whatever gift. Each one, that's everyone. That's another way to look at each one. The second thing, the purpose is service. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to what? Serve others. Got to serve somebody. You're serving. Here's the ironic thing. What Stevie Bob sang today is right. You know, I'm going to call him that because I think he did a great Bob Dylan thing there at the end, right? He's exactly right. If you're not actively serving Christ, you're still serving somebody. You're serving somebody. So it's not a question about whether I'm going to serve. The question is, who am I serving? Because by default, if you're not serving Christ, you're serving Satan. You know why? Because his idea is to get your focus off of Jesus in the first place. You may be a Christ follower already, but if he can keep you from serving other Christians, he's thinking, well, you know what? If I can keep his or her influence from reaching that of other people, you know what? Then I'm going to be a lot better off. My kingdom's going to be bigger. That's what Satan's thinking. He wants to minimize your influence to serve. So the purpose is service. Third, intended benefits are for others. It says to serve others. That's the purpose of our life. Look, we say it so often, and I know sometimes I wish you'd just shut up. You say it all the time. I say it a lot because I got to remind myself of it. My life is not to be lived for my benefit. It is to be lived for the benefit of others. And you know what? If you're a Christ follower, the same statement is true for you. So we have to constantly remind us, because I have to be reminded. Because I have to be reminded. I know you need to be reminded of that. Because it's so easy to fall into our default mentality of me first. It's just something that kind of just comes natural, unfortunately. Here's the last thing. My equipping is unique to me. It's unique to me. Nobody else can do what God has called you to do, specifically. Similar things, right? But the specific equipping that God has given you, He's not really given to anybody else. No two faces are alike. No two hands, no two feet, etc. And by the same token, no two makeups for service are alike. He says at the end there that we should serve others faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. There are various forms. That means that there's uniqueness in this whole thing. Finally, I want to give you two things leading us into next week. We're going to talk next week about what it means and how we find specifically what we're to do, some tools, some ideas. Because I think there are two major service objectives that we need to understand that God wants us to live out. The first of these is my ministry. What is my ministry? My ministry is my service to others in the body of Christ. It's my service to others in the body of Christ. I'm called to serve others in the body. Look around. You know, there are people here that in the first service served others by taking care of and teaching their children. There are people who were in the first service this morning, okay, who are there now taking care of some of your children. Why? Because they're serving you. And they're serving the children. They're serving the teens, right? The folks that greet you at the door every day and serve you coffee, they're serving you. They're conducting ministry. The folks leading today on the worship team, the musical team, guess what? They're serving you, right? Because that is their giftedness. That's what they're called to do. That's part of their unique equipping, right? The second objective of service is my mission, which is my service to those who are not yet in the body of Christ. You see, service is important to others in the body of Christ, but also, as Jesus said in that last part of that passage, to those who are not yet a part of the sheepfold, not yet a part of the flock. So we have two angles from which to approach service, and all of us need, we might prefer one over the other, but you know what? We need to be doing things in both realms with both objectives. Because in Romans 12:1, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When you are serving, when you are singing, when you are living your life at home and at work and all this, and you are doing in the context of serving, you are giving a spiritual sacrifice to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. You see, worship is the totality of everything that the Christ follower does. We have a lifestyle of worship, and this is exactly what that's about. How about you? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to go back and I want you to think about some of the things, these five deals we talked about with regard to servants, who they are and what they do. And I want you to just ask yourself the question, okay, where am I hitting the mark? Where am I missing the mark? Where am I? What do I need to work on? Can I tell you that nobody, if you're really honest about it, is going to have an A+ on all these? If you do, you got other problems. You're not humble enough to be a servant, for one thing, if you give yourself A+ on all that, right? We all have certain areas where we're thriving right now. We're not there right yet. We need to work a little bit. God wants you to struggle and strive with that a little bit. Think about those questions this week, where you are, where you think you need to be. And next week we're going to dig a little deeper into you as the individual and how God wants you to fulfill the calling that He has in your life. That is a huge part of rolling down the highway of life and living it for everything that we can get out of it, because that's how God wants us to live life, with all out abandon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for service. Thank you for examples of people in the Bible like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, who we don't even think often that they rose out of what was perhaps the most menial and most, non-prestigious viewed position. And yet, God, those are the men that you used. because they already had hearts and attitudes of servanthood to understand what it would take to help others be all they can be. God, ingrain this in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, give us a new vision of how we can serve others, not only in the church, but God, in the workplace, in the home, on the ball field, wherever we would find ourselves. God, I pray that you help us to integrate service with our very vocation. Help us to recognize that work is not something that is to be compartmentalized, but it is a total part of our life mission as well. So God, help us to learn more about how you shepherd. You are the good shepherd. Give us these characteristics. Help us understand these characteristics, Lord. Help us to work to develop them in every way we possibly can. Thank you for your love and your grace and your peace. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I want to remind you to pick up your tickets at the back here for the event for Rick Martin. Why did I turn that off? I turned it off and kept talking. That was not real smart. I do those things every once in a while. And